Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Time for our weekly chat with infectious disease specialist, Dr. Eileen Marty. Good morning, Dr. Marty. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Bob. How's Chicago?
I think we're doing okay here. The positivity rate has been going up and down and hovering around 4%. So the doctors we talked to around here say hospitalizations are down. So I guess we're doing good. What do you see when you look at the map of the United States?
When I look at the map of the United States, I see that Chicago is doing a little bit better than other parts of the North, West, and other parts of Illinois. You seem to have a lot of trouble in Logan County and in Case County and Fayette County.
Yeah.
County.
I don't know if that's all about people resistant to getting the vaccine or just letting their guard down. But I'll tell you, I'm confused, too, because I've had both of my shots, and I'm with other people the other night who were vaccinated, and I don't know, do I shake hands? Do I take my mask off? Do I keep social distancing? What am I supposed to do?
Okay, so if you are with another couple and the other couple's fully vaccinated and you're fully vaccinated, you're okay to take off your mask and have dinner together and have a good, you know, normal exchange in your own place. The trouble comes in as you increase the number of individuals, right? And if anyone in the mix is not vaccinated, and particularly if anyone in the mix, as the mix gets larger, has a vulnerability, right? A reason that they might have severe disease. But I will tell you, as I'm sure you're aware, there have been somewhere in the order of 5,800 individuals who have become infected even though they had the vaccine, and a small number of individuals have ended up in the hospital, and somewhere around 74 fully vaccinated people have died. Now, that's really, really small compared to the unvaccinated. And remember, vaccines are only, at best, 95% effective, not 100%. So there's still a risk out there as long as the overall viral load is high. And it still is in our country, and it still is in particular pockets of our country. And that's what we have to do. We have to get the viral load down so that everybody can take their mask off and we can have larger parties without worrying. And that's really where we are right now. We're doing a phenomenal job in the United States of getting people vaccinated. If you look at the entire population, right, children included, 40%, if you include children who are not eligible for vaccine yet, have had the vaccine. And that's really good. We're heading in the right direction, but we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. And that's really the situation.
The CDC, as you know, is meeting Friday to vote on whether or not to recommend lifting the pause on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Dr. Fauci says he thinks there might be new restrictions or warnings. Is that what you think?
Absolutely. So I've looked at the situation at length and had multiple meetings with national and international colleagues. So we hunted down this issue. And if you go back to 1999, there are studies from 1999, 2002, 2005, 2007 that were already showing that adenoviruses used as vectors, and a variety of them, not just adenovirus 5 or adenovirus 26 or any, you know, or the chimp adenovirus, a variety of adenoviruses, when they're used this way, can, in very rare instances, cause problems with clotting, right? And so I'm not surprised that we've seen this now with both AstraZeneca that uses the chimp adenovirus, or the J&J, which uses the A26 adenovirus. I'm not surprised. I'm actually more surprised that anyone was surprised, right? But again, it's very, very rare. And the way Europe has handled the situation is by saying no one above a certain age. And it's different exactly what age was selected in different European countries as to who can and who cannot. No one below a certain age. They're giving it to older people, not to younger people, because this is primarily something that we're particularly worried about with younger individuals. So the reality is we're probably going to put a similar kind of restriction. After debate and study, we'll select a date, an age below which you don't give the J&J vaccine.
And what is going to happen with kids under 16 and the vaccine?
Well, that's right now, both Moderna and Pfizer have different studies ongoing that are vaccinating children from 6 months of age up with different doses, right? Different doses depending on exactly what the age range is. And if you look at the already released data of the teenagers, that the 12 to 16 year olds that were vaccinated with Pfizer, the results were phenomenal. A phenomenal level of efficacy, where the vaccinated children did not ever manifest any symptoms of COVID, and only the children in the placebo group did get COVID. So that was really, really, and in terms of side effects, they were minimal, absolutely minimal. Remember, these messenger RNA vaccines have a completely different platform, so they're phenomenally safe, excellent products. And so with these new studies, which I suspect we may see the results thereof possibly before school starts, we may be seeing the ability to vaccinate children before school.
That is good news. Well, Dr. Arlene Marty, our thanks as always, and I just can't wait to impress my friends today by saying, I'm feeling a little under the weather. I think I may have an A26 adenovirus. I think they'll really be impressed with that. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.